If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, my guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. Well, we have been discussing some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature for quite a while now, and we'd like to continue along the same line. Let me ask you this question, Sheikh. What are the general Islamic laws or Sharia laws regarding a kind of mixing or qash? This is what the terminology, in fact, holds in the transactions and trade, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei, of course.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There is no doubt that cheating and deception or using any tactics to deceive the customer is forbidden.
Yes.
Actually, to play a trick on someone and to sell goods which are defective,
right,
is not permissible. And in the event that the buyer comes to know that the property or the good or the item he has purchased,
yes,
is defective, he has the option and the right to cancel the transaction and return the good and get his money back.
Right. Well, these are the general laws, right?
No, yeah,
regarding
of course. Any dishonest practices are forbidden in Islam. It's not permissible to conduct any such practices, whether the customer is Muslim or non-Muslim, okay? It is necessary for every vendor or any seller to be honest and to show to be trustworthy and to tell if there is any defect in the item or in the good or utensil or whatever he sells. If there is any defect, he should frankly tell the other person,
right,
that this is the defect, and if you want to purchase it, you should purchase with previous knowledge and understanding of the defect.
How about dishonest, in fact, people or individuals who are involved in a kind of transaction? Like, for example, you're going to buy something from someone and they don't inform you of the technical defects, as you mentioned.
Right.
So can you, give them, for example, something of a lesser, let's say, value, like shortchange the person or something like that by being dishonest as a kind of reaction to the dishonest or unscrupulous, for example, transaction that they held for you?
You're right. The person who sells, he is not entitled to the money he receives. Because the person who buys, he buys it as something which is flawless, which is completely perfect, and it is sound, and there's no defect in it.
Right.
So he buys it with that intention. While the seller knows that there is such a defect. It's if for example, he sells a cow,
right,
and the cow suffers from an illness,
right,
or suffers from some kind of problem, and he does not reveal the
right
truth to the buyer. So the buyer has two options here. One is the khiyar al haywan, then the option for returning the animal,
yes,
and getting his money back. And the other is, of course, the khiyar, or the option for for the defect. Okay, khiyar al-aib is the option for the defect.
What can he do?
When he should, he has the right to either get the adjust the amount,
right?
Take the money, portion of the money,
right,
back, and go ahead and use the product or the animal, or else he can return the product or whatever he is
has
effective.
Purchased. Yes,
he has purchased to the seller.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Well, Sheikh Javid, what is the rule regarding forgetting, for example, the content or the text that we are required to read, for example, during qunut in a prayer?
Well, qunut is not obligatory per se.
Mm-hmm.
And if a person forgets any zikr of the qunut, he can change the zikr and recite another zikr, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Any dua that you recite, whether it is in Farsi or in Arabic, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
The religious authorities have allowed to recite,
right,
have allowed to recite any zikr. So
right,
qunut in itself is not wajib, let alone the zikr or the askar which we might want to recite in it.
I see. How about, in fact, mispronunciation in the prayer? Does it matter whether, for example, this pronunciation takes place in or during recommended prayer or obligatory ones?
Okay. Mispronunciation, you know, it's a defect, it's a problem. And the duty-bound, the mukallaf, is supposed to work on improving his pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to make every effort to pronounce as correctly as possible. And at the same time, he must make sure that he improves his pronunciation. Okay, wrong pronunciation gives a wrong meaning, gives a wrong sense, yes, and it denotes something else. So if a person knows that his pronunciation is wrong, he must improve it. And if a person knows that, for example, a certain prayer leader does not pronounce the letters and words of the prayer correctly, he cannot stand behind him and offer his prayers with jama'ah.
Right.
He must offer his prayers individually in that case. So the thing is that if a person is in a position and able to improve his pronunciation, he must do so.
I see.
And he must do his best to pronounce the letters as correctly as possible. Of course, he has to consult people who know how to pronounce.
Yes. Sheikh Javid, you know, we are not talking about the Middle Easterns or Middle Easterners or Muslims or Arabs who would know, like by default, for example, the correct pronunciation of the Arabic terms or terminologies when it comes especially to obligatory rituals,
right,
such as the prayers. We are talking about, for example, people coming back actually from different walks of life, different backgrounds and different linguistic backgrounds, actually.
Right.
All right. For example, it's pretty hard. Let me give you a very clear case.
Right.
It's pretty hard for English-speaking people to pronounce kh sound, for example,
right,
which is prevalent in Arabic,
yes,
a lot. So, or the differences between, for example, th and sa and the and
sod,
the
zod.
Zod, you know, all of these sounds in Arabic are even somehow difficult, I guess, for the Arabs to pronounce.
Yeah.
Not to mention, or let alone, for example, people with different other languages, basically. So it's pretty hard, basically, for them to pronounce the correct requirement when it comes to pronunciation of those words, right?
Yes. So the thing is that one should do as far as it lies within him to improve his pronunciation. And God does not obligate a person beyond his capacity.
Right.
Okay, you are honest in your pronunciation and you are trying your best. God knows
right.
the truth. And if possible, even for a newly, let's say, converted
yes.
Or convert, he is supposed to improve his pronunciation. I know his pronunciation is going to be, it is in the very beginning. It is not
perfect.
Perfect,
yes.
yes. Okay, he might not be able to pronounce K, H as K,
right.
while he pronounces it as K. Okay,
yes.
God knows the truth.
I see.
And he knows how sincere you are.
Mm-hmm.
But you are also trying and trying to, but that doesn't mean that you should keep praying because
yes.
you are not able to pronounce prayers. Okay, you should at the same time. Even people who are deaf and dumb, you know,
yes,
people who cannot speak, they are supposed to pray. Mm. They cannot even pronounce any words.
Okay.
They cannot speak any words. The dumb, especially, okay. They are supposed to use gestures
right.
instead of making words.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Tawheed. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawheed, our guest speaker. We are talking about the or some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Tawheed, do people have to, in fact, make a ghusl or ablution after miscarriage?
Of course they should. It is wajib for ladies who experience miscarriage
yes.
to do ghusl. There are two ghusl that becomes obligatory on a lady who experiences miscarriage.
Right.
One is the ghusl for touching a dead body because the fetus comes into contact with her body.
Yes.
The child is born dead
and
that is ghusl for touching a dead body. And the second ghusl is ghusl for the postnatal bleeding, the bleeding that occurs, okay? This is called ghusl nifas, okay? So she should do two major ablutions. One is ghusl mas for a dead body, and then one is ghusl nifas. And of course, if she performs one ghusl with the intention of both of them, it would be sufficient.
Mm.
She is not supposed to repeat the ghusl and do it again twice.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh. I think that is the case, or that rule applies to every kind of ghusl, right?
Yes,
imagine
of
that you can just have one, you know, ghusl with lots of niyyah, right?
Yeah, of
intentions.
You're right.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Tawheed. Thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio, in which we try to delve into some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا
شهيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو